It was almost 2,000 years ago when the scribe asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And the response of Jesus is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Mark, was our text for the morning and also will be our text for the evening message. In response to the question about the greatest commandment, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" We used our time this morning in looking at the part of this command that says that we should love God with all of our heart. And then tonight we want to direct our attention to the other three segregated topics or categories that Jesus used in that answer. Loving God with all of my soul. What does that mean? All of my soul. I think that perhaps if we were to give a question out tonight to the people that were here and say, "Define in one paragraph the word soul," we'd get a myriad of different answers. Mainly, I think we would define that by talking about its importance, because its definition is not given in Scripture, is it? So what does it mean to love God with all of my soul? Well, it simply means that I am to love God with all of my life, my being. When a person employs his life with all the comforts and conveniences in service to God, he is loving God with all of his soul. Jesus said in Luke the 12th chapter in verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." We need to keep our values. We read in Matthew 6 and verse 33, a passage that is well known to us and others, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." That tells us that these things that are part of the life definition are a byproduct of seeking first God, or loving first God, as Jesus answered that scribe. When we study in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning in verse 16, or the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 21, the story of the rich fool, all he could think of were his things. It's interesting when you read those verses to just circle the I's and the me's and the myself's, and you can see readily where his focus was. It was upon the physical rather than upon God. That man did not love God the way Jesus said is the most important of the answer to the question given to the scribe. He loved his things more. It's a difficult question to ask when standing before the mirror of introspection. Am I willing to be deprived of the comforts rather than to dishonor God? Will I endure? Will I fold under hardship, or will I stand strong? If I come to live in an environment of physical suffering, will I deny my Lord, or will I suffer even death for the cause of the cross? It's somewhat removed, and easier to point an accusing finger at someone like Peter, who succumbed to the pressures on that volatile night before the crucifixion, when people asked him if he was associated with the Lord. But if we find ourselves in similar circumstances, how strong will we stand? Jesus said, the most important thing is to love God with all of your soul. And he gave three other definitions. So, as we live our life and we each confront our circumstance, varied as it may be, remember the importance of standing strong for God. Even when deprived of things that seem as though we're owed by society or by our being a part of a free country, because of our work, the things that we're owed, because of our relationship, the things that we're owed, when we really become pressed upon, that becomes the telling truth as to how much we love God. Do we love God with all of our soul when we're down and out? Jesus said that is important. Everybody has a cross to bear. I hesitate at times to even use that phraseology. But everybody has those things to bear that are difficult. There are among those present tonight ones who bear difficult health issues. Ones who bear difficult family issues. Ones who bear difficult economic issues. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. And Luke adds that that is a daily thing. Being the kind of Christian that God wants us to be is not a process of adrenaline. It is not a process of peaks and valleys. It isn't a suck it up and make one good shot and then revert back to some lesser form of commitment. Being the kind of Christian that we're talking about is assuming a high level of commitment and accompanied with prayer and great effort, extending ourselves to the point of our ability to put Jesus, to put God, to put the Holy Spirit first in our life. There is no other category of thought within the framework of humanity that demands such commitment. And thus it is difficult to grasp the difficulty and the seriousness of an extended maximum effort. When does a man love God with all of his strength? And the answer is when he exerts all powers of body and spirit in the service of God. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to note in that passage that bodies are essential in service to God. And while we don't dwell on that very often. It is incumbent upon us to maintain, to the best of our ability, a certain level of energy and health that will allow us to be active physically in the service of God. And thus the abuse of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, those things that our society has shown to be a destructive force of the person is not within the framework of a Christian's activity, because a Christian needs all of his strength to love God the way that Jesus said we should love God. He is not going to put himself in a situation where he is deprived of those things that allow him to have the energy to do those things that a Christian will do to please the King. He is not going to be always so tired that he can't relate with other Christians in a positive way. He or she is not going to be so withdrawn that they cannot relate to non-Christians in a way that will promote the cause of Christ. It is our bodies that we're sacrificing. Loving God with all of our strength involves sparing no labor or no cost to glorify God. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 58, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In other words, such as described in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, and verse 10, I should serve God with all of my might. That involves work. That's work that proves our love. In James 1, in verse 25, the author says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In the same book, in chapter 2 and verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." We must all do as the song says, work, for the night is coming. When does a man love God with all of his mind? And the answer is when we apply ourselves to know God and to know His revealed will. How do we do that? The answer is one word. We study to know God's word. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Peter says, "Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's sad when a Christian doesn't apply himself to study. If you fall into that category, and only you know whether or not you shirk your personal responsibility to study. Only you know. If you fall into that category, I challenge you to open your Bible and read Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 12, 13, and 14. Those are motivational verses. A man loves God with all of his mind when he receives with gratitude and with submission and with pleasure the sacred truths of God's word. Solomon said in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. A man loves God with all of his mind when he forms no plans or participates in no projects without giving thought to God and his word as an integral part of those plans and projects. A man loves God with all of his heart when he designs a vacation that not only includes service to God, but highlights service to God. When he selects employment that not only includes service, personal service to God, but highlights opportunity to be of service to God. Parents highlight the serving God with all of their mind when they direct their children into career pathways that allow them an opportunity to serve God well. When you decide where to live, it's incumbent upon you to pick a place that will provide a spiritual atmosphere for you as with your mind you envelop God and become more like His Son. I have personal friends in this audience that gave up great career opportunities because their mind knew through examination that it would just be very difficult for them and their family to make the commitment to God that Jesus talks about in this passage. And while at the end the bottom line may be negative affected from a physical standpoint, it'll be positively effective from a spiritual standpoint. And along the way, those kinds of people that make those decisions have no idea what their example has done for those around them that know their commitment to spiritual things. And it's that kind of a community. It's that kind of a family spiritually that grows and becomes a real force in the community in which it finds itself. Loving God with all of my mind. Finally, we love God with all of our mind when we look for and see God in everything that is pure and good. Going to put a picture on the screen of some mountains outside of San Bernardino, California. They're usually ugly. But in a particular year, the rains came at the right time and the sun came at the right time, and those hills just painted a picture that man couldn't paint. A picture that comes only from God, and a person that loves God the way that we're talking about from the 12th chapter of Mark tonight, when they see that kind of a thing, it's breathtaking, it's awe-inspiring, and it's a reflection of God saying, "Here, man, enjoy creation." And it draws us closer. But I would tell you that within the last 2 days, I've seen something even more beautiful than the picture I'm going to put up. In Wolf Creek Pass in Colorado, 10,800 feet, the trees were turning 3 days ago. And the wind was blowing, but it hadn't blown them off, and the leaves on the aspen trees were spinning like golden dollars. and the reds and the yellows and the greens just reflected an image of God. And if I hadn't have been so forgetful and would have had my camera, you'd be seeing that. I cannot explain the feeling that Judy and I had as we pulled off the side of the road and through tears prayed to God and thanking Him for His creation. It's developing a mindset that appreciates God and what He's done that makes that a reaction instead of a plan. You can't help but doing it. If you love God with all of your mind, and I'm not saying that we're there to a perfect state, but those of us who gather here tonight love God to some extent, or we would not be here. And when we get that in our hearts and we transfer that to our children and to our grandchildren, can you see the impact that it's going to have on this world? Can you feel the impact in your life that that kind of feeling from your dad and mom has brought to you through the generations? We're talking about something that is the very hub of Christianity, the very core of being ready to approach the end. As we read in the last of the revealed word of God, "Yea, Lord, come quickly." How do we come to that point? We come to that point when we look and see in everything that we look and see God in His majesty. And we look by the things that Satan sets there to take us off track, and we're built up by one another. And we become stronger and we become better in the service of the King. Where can I go from Thy Spirit? Or where can I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to the heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and the light are alike to Thee. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 12. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and all of thy strength. This is the first commandment." Give your life to the Lord tonight. Come while we stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him.